Gospel according to John, chapter 15. And our text for this morning is the last verse of this chapter, that is verse 27. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. No one can read the Gospel of John without being struck with the frequent and prominent use of the word witness. It is one of the key words of John's writings, as characteristic of his epistles as of his Gospel. In his Gospel, the word witness is found no less than 22 times. And when we include the word testify, which is the same in the original, we find that the number then is 37. 37 times John makes reference to witness. In his epistles, witness and testify is recorded 10 times. John, of course, employed these words with reference to the great work, yea, the business of promoting the Lord Jesus Christ in a hostile and wicked world. John chapter 20 and John chapter 19 rather than verse 31 verse 35, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. And then when you go over to the end of John's Gospel, and there you read in verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which of they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And so we see that the purpose of John's writing and of his Gospel and his epistles was to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ in a dark and wicked world, that those that he would witness to and others would witness to of Christ would come to know him, would believe on him and be saved. Indeed, it was part of his settled plan in his writing. His Gospel brings forward a whole series and chain of witnesses, each one bearing witness to Jesus Christ. Each one witnessed or testified that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of men. Just consider in John's Gospel those who witnessed to Jesus Christ. First of all, John 5, verse 36, we read, and the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Then John tells us about the witness of Christ himself. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. John 8, verse 18. And then John also draws our attention to the witness of the Savior's works. His works bore witness to Jesus Christ that indeed he was the promised Messiah. John 5, verse 36, we read, "But I have greater witness than that of John," that is John the Baptist, "for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me." So thus far we have the Father, the Son, and his own works bear witness to Jesus Christ. The Lord there made mention also of John the Baptist. For in John 5, verses 32 and 33, we read, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." We go a little further, and the Holy Scriptures also bear witness to Jesus Christ. John 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify or witness of me." The Father, the Son, the Scriptures, the Savior's works, John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit. John 15, verse 26, the verse before our text for this morning, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify or witness of me." Now, have you been keeping count? We made reference to six witnesses to Jesus Christ: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist, the works of Christ, and what was the other one? The Scriptures themselves. Now, the picture is not complete because we have a seventh witness. And here we have it in verse 27. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So we have a seventh witness now to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his identity, to the reason why he came into the world. "Ye also." The Lord Jesus, of course, is speaking here to his disciples, to his followers. This was to be the life work of the Lord's disciples. And dear child of God, we are to be witnesses also. This is to be our life work as well. For the Lord would say to us this morning, "Ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." It must be the life work of the church. It must be the life work of every Christian to be a witness to and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to look at this matter of being a witness to Christ. First of all, in this text we see here, in the Lord speaking to the disciples were commissioned by the Lord. For the Lord says, "Ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." In our text, the Savior speaks of the work he wanted his disciples to carry out. They were reminded of this once again before the Lord's ascension. For we read in Acts 1, and there in the 8th verse, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Lord reminded them of the work that he wanted them to do. And dear child of God, this is something surely that we need to be reminded of from time to time. We are to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to witness for him. We are to tell others about the Lord Jesus. That's what he wanted his disciples to do. Here we have, concerning this great commission, we have the Lord's precept. The Lord said, ye also shall bear witness. When the Lord said to his disciples, ye shall also bear witness, he wasn't telling them what they may or may not do. He wasn't saying to them, this is something that you can either do or not do. You can either take it or leave it. Not at all. What the Lord Jesus was saying, this is something that you must do. For you see, that's how it is rendered in the original. Ye must also testify or witness. Ye must. Not just ye shall, but ye must be a witness unto me. Here is something which every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ must do. It's a must. We must testify. We must witness for the Lord. Here is something that every child of God has been commanded to do. Be a witness for their Savior. We are as bound to be a witness for the Lord as the Holy Spirit is. Notice the connection between the words of verse 26 and 27. Regarding the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear a witness. Ye also, testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the work and the ministry of the third person of the Trinity. Indeed, the Lord tells us that this was one of the reasons why he came, to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Not the work of the Spirit of God to speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. He shall glorify me, and in our text we have read that he shall testify of me. That was the work of the Spirit of God, and it is our work. And we know that, dear child of God, we cannot be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus except we have the help of the Spirit of God. If this is the ministry of the Spirit of God, then We can go to the Spirit of God and seek His help, seek His power. I'd like you to turn to Acts 1 again, and to the words in verse 8. The Lord Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And I read that again in preparation for the service this morning. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And I thought to myself, well, if they received this power after the Holy Ghost came upon them, what did they have before the Holy Ghost came upon them? And we deduce from that they had nothing but powerlessness. There was no power there. The power came upon them after the Holy Ghost came upon them. And dear child of God, does this not emphasize the necessity for us as God's people to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God? Are we serving the Lord in the power of the Spirit of God, or do we lament our powerlessness when it comes to witnessing? When it comes to speaking for the Lord, is there not powerlessness there, weakness there, timidity there? What do we need? We need the power of the Spirit of God. And I tell you, dear child of God, if we all knew the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, my, what a witness we would be for God. In Acts 4, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness," verse 33, "and with great power gave the apostles witness." They witnessed of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they witnessed with great power. How were they able to witness with great power? Because they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the power of God came upon them. Came upon them on the day of Pentecost. And now the apostles are praying, and the power of God comes upon them again. And so you see, dear child of God, this isn't a once for all thing. We need to be going to the Lord and praying again and again and again for power. Fresh power every day. That we might be witnesses unto the Lord. So it was a precept. Ye must be my witnesses. Not only the precept, but that is here the privilege. As we have seen, there are seven witnesses of Christ, and we are included among them. Is it not a privilege to be included with the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father? When He has come, the Lord Jesus said, that is the Holy Spirit, He will testify of me, and ye also. What a privilege then, that God has called us to witness for Him, that He has been pleased to put His hand upon us and say, "I want you to witness for me." along with the Spirit of God. Not that we work and witness apart from the Spirit of God, but in unison with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God's power upon us and working through us and in us. And ye also shall bear witness. Ye also, along with the Holy Spirit, along with my works, along with my words, ye also. Surely that's a privilege. And the Lord said, ye also, the Lord has chosen us to bear witness for Him. And dear child of God, we know the Lord has chosen us in salvation, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. But in choosing us unto salvation, He has chosen us also to witness for Him. We are chosen to be witnesses. I would count that a privilege. I do count it a privilege. What did the Lord Jesus say in chapter 15, verse 16? Ye have not chosen me. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. In salvation, we didn't choose Christ. It was Christ who chose us. I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There's the work of witnessing. Going forth and bearing fruit. Verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hate you. And our text then, and ye also shall bear witness. I have chosen you, and ye also shall bear witness. I've chosen you to be my witness. John was the one who was chosen to be the Lord's forerunner. And my, what a forerunner he was. John's whole life was taken up with Christ. If ever a man's life was full of Jesus Christ, it was John the Baptist. His life and the earthly life and ministry of Christ, they run in parallel. He had a tremendous life and ministry. And what a witness he was for the Lord. And dear child of God, that's what the Lord has chosen us to do. And we're a privileged people. Could have chosen anyone else, but according to His sovereign will and purpose, He chose us to testify and to witness for the Lord. We notice not only the privilege and the precept, but the purpose. To be a witness. That's our purpose in life. Some people have no purpose in life. They go through life and there's no purpose there. There's no aim. There's no goal. For the Christian, every Christian has a purpose. It's to be a witness for the Lord. That's our purpose. We may think, well, why would the Lord choose me to be His witness? Why would the Lord put His hand on me? Well, Paul gives us the answer. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 29. We read that the Lord didn't choose the wives of the mighty. He didn't choose the noble. But we are told that He chose the foolish and the weak and the base and the despised and they that are not. They that are not the nothings of this world. So that no flesh may glory in His presence. And that's what we are. And that's why the Lord has chosen us according to His purpose. He has chosen us. He has chosen the nothings of this world to be a witness for Him. The disciples were to witness to those things which they had seen and heard. Those things they had seen and heard while they were with Christ. Turn to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1. And there in the opening three verses, we read that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. What we have heard, what we have seen, what we have looked upon, what we have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What we have seen and heard, we declare it unto you. This is what we bear witness to, what we've seen the Lord do, what we have seen Him perform, and what we have heard Him say, that's what we witness. Now, what did the Lord say there in our text? He said that they would be witnesses unto Him because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, you think of Peter, James, and John, who were with Christ from the beginning. And they were with Him for 3 or more years. They would have a lot to talk about. They would have a lot to bear witness to. It would be, first of all, it would be a very full witness. When we think, believer, of the time that we have spent with Christ and the things we have seen and the things we have heard of the Word of life, we would have a lot to talk about. How many years have you and I been saved? It's over 30 years for me. I have seen and heard a lot over that period of time. I would have a lot to talk about. I have a lot to witness to with regard to the Lord Jesus. What I have seen Him do. What I have heard Him say. I could tell people about prayers that have been answered. Many prayers have been answered over that period of time. I could tell them about the power of the blood and how the blood saved me from my sin. I would have a lot to talk about. I could tell them and bear witness to the peace that I have in Jesus Christ. I could speak about the problems He has solved over that period of time since I've been with Him from the beginning of my Christian life. I could tell people about the prayers He has answered. I could speak about the unfailing presence of my Savior in times of trouble. I could speak about His providence. I could speak about His provision. I could speak about His protection. I could speak about His patience with me. It would be a very full witness. And here we are, when we're in conversation with the ungodly, we can hardly find one thing to talk about. And yet the Lord wanted His disciples to be His witnesses and to tell people about all they had seen and heard from the beginning. And if we were to do the same, we could also say with John, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. Which Jesus did for me. Which if they should be written, everyone, the world itself, could not contain the books that should be written. And I think every one of us could say that. We could fill many a volume of those things we have seen and heard of the Word of Life from the beginning. Not only were these disciples to witness a full witness, but a factual witness. Those things that they had seen and heard, they had witnessed His healing of the sick, His giving sight to the blind, speech to the dumb, hearing to the deaf. They had witnessed His casting out of demons. They had witnessed His raising up of the dead. The Lord said, ye are witnesses of these things. All these things they had witnessed. And so they were to tell others. They were to tell others the fact. The truth, what they had seen and heard. If someone witnesses an accident, they're called to the court, they're put into the witness box, and the judge says to them, tell us what you saw. And from that witness box, they are to tell the truth. Declare the facts about what they had seen. And so it is with us. We are to be a witness to the truth. There are many false witnesses today. There are many today and they're telling lies about the Lord Jesus. They're not telling the truth about Christ. They're not telling the truth. And so therefore, dear child of God, it is our duty to stand up and be a witness for the Lord and to tell the truth. We're to be witnesses to the truth. And the skeptical, unbelieving, wicked world, may we be our Lord's best witnesses to the truth. Let's tell people that the Lord Jesus lived a sinless life. There are those who don't believe that. There are those who don't believe that He was virgin born. Let's tell the truth. There are those who don't believe that He died an atoning death. They believe that He was just merely put to death and died as a martyr. Let's tell the truth about why He died. Let's be His witnesses. There are those today and they don't believe that Jesus Christ is alive. They think it's all a fairy tale. But let's tell them. Let's stand up and say, we know He lives. And they can say, well, how do you know He lives? We can answer, because He lives within our hearts. We know He lives. We can bear witness to that. It's a living Savior that walks with me each day. It's a living Savior that has been with me in the valleys of life. It's a living Savior that has been my friend through the storms of life. He's alive, all right. So we give a full witness, an effectual witness, and a focused witness. The Lord Jesus said of the Holy Spirit that when He has come, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness. Christ is the focus of our witness. He must always be the focus of our witness. When witnessing for the Lord, we must make sure of one thing. We must make sure that Christ can be seen. Let our language focus on Christ. Let our lives focus on Christ, that He might be seen in us. Been reading a book this past week, just anecdotes and stories and illustrations from the Reformation period and the years following. And I read this story and I just thought, well, how well this ties in with what we're dealing with this morning. On August 22nd, 1651, a man by the name of Christopher Love died for the cause of Christ. His wife, Mary, had some very touching words to say to him before he was taken from her. She said, "One comfort I would have thee carry to the grave. If ever God did good to my soul, thou wast the chief instrument of it, for I never looked after God till I saw thy face." What was she saying? She was saying that when she looked into the face of her husband, when she was unsaved and they were both unmarried, when she looked into the face of her future husband, who did she see? She saw Christ. And what she saw in her husband's face led her to seek Christ. That's a witness indeed. That's the witness that is focused on Christ. And dear believer, wouldn't it be good if people saw so much of Christ in us that they would want to know more about our Savior? Tell me about the one that you know. That's what it is to be a witness for Christ. We must focus on Him. Christopher Love's life was all Christ. And it was a witness to others that our living focus on Christ. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." That's a tremendous statement. For to me to live is Christ. That was his life. Jesus Christ was Paul's life. And oh, what a witness he was. Let our love focus on Christ, so that when the Lord Jesus says to us, "Lovest thou me more than these," we might say immediately, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. I love thee more than thee." Let us then be good witnesses for Jesus Christ. They were commissioned. And then these disciples, we read in this text, but not only the disciples being commissioned by the Lord, but we read about the disciples being in the company of the Lord. Look what the Lord said, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me." You've been with me. You've been in my company. You've been with me from the beginning. There was, of course, no point. It would have been a fruitless exercise choosing men to witness for Christ who had never been with Christ. And so the Lord chose these men, and he says, "Because you were with me. From the beginning, you've been in my company. You've been with me in my going out and coming in. You've been with me in the daytime and in the night season. You've been with me in the plains of Judea, and you've been with me in the mountains. You've been with me in Jerusalem. You've been with me in Galilee. You've been with me when I raised the dead. You've been with me when I healed the sick. You've been with me when I preached to the multitudes. You've been with me when I preached to the individual. You've been with me. You've been in my company." And believer, for us to be effective witnesses, we need to be in the company of Christ. We need to spend much time in His company. We have the importance of His company. It was only through being with Him, and again, hearing and seeing all that He did and said, that they could be true witnesses. John 14, verse 9, the Lord said to Philip, He said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Yes, I've been a long time with you. But Philip, how much time have you spent with me? We need to spend time with Christ if we are to know Him. And only those who know Him the Lord chose to be His witnesses. The Lord said, "Because ye have been with me." Now, of course, the disciples had been with the Lord Jesus in all those places we have already mentioned. They had been with Him in all those places. That's impossible for us. So how then can we be with Him? Oh yes, the day is coming when we will be with Him in glory in the land that is fairer than they will be with Him then. But how can we be with Him here upon earth? There is only one place here on earth whereby we can be with Christ. And the Lord tells us, "Where the twos and threes are met together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We are with Christ when we're in the place of prayer. And it's in the place of prayer that we know and learn more about Christ. And the more we know of Him, and the more we know about Him, then the greater witnesses we will be. It's when we're before the throne of grace and the holiest of all, it's then that we are with Him. It is there that the soul thirsts for a deeper knowledge of God. it is there that we get to know him. When Jacob spent the night wrestling with the Lord, the Lord wrestling with Jacob, just as the day was breaking. So he'd been wrestling all night. And just as the day was breaking, Jacob wanted to know more about the Lord. Spent the night wrestling. And at the end of the night he says, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." Here you have Jacob wanting to know more about the one who had been wrestling with him, and that one, of course, was the angel of the Lord Jesus himself. It was Christ who wrestled with Jacob that night. And at the end of the night's wrestling, Jacob had a hunger and a thirst in his heart and in his soul to know more about Christ. When we're with him, and we get to know him, and the more we know of him, the better witnesses we'll be. The importance of his company. When we're with him, we're identified with his company. Even the ungodly, when we spend much time with Christ, even the ungodly will see that we're a people identified with Christ. Take Peter, for example. That night as he came and sat down at the fire that was burning just below Pilate's judgment hall, Peter was sitting there warming himself at the fire, and we read, "But a certain maid beheld him. And as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him." She recognized Peter as a man who had been with him. He was identified with Christ. And what was it that the kindred of the high priest said when Herod, when they heard the preaching of Peter and John? Acts 4, verse 31. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They noticed it. They knew they had spent time with Jesus. And the Lord says, ye shall bear witness because ye have been with me. We need to spend time with Christ. We need to be with him. We need to be identified with him. And then you have the influence of his company. When the Lord Jesus called these disciples to be his witnesses, they had already been with him for 3 years. And being with Christ, they knew all about witnessing. If they wanted to know anything about witnessing, they'd only to look to their master. He was a master at witnessing. See how he witnessed to the woman of Samaria. See how he dealt with different individuals, how he witnessed to them. See how he dealt with Legion. And I tell you, believer, when you spend time with Christ, you'll know all about witnessing. We'll be influenced by him. We'll know how to deal with the unseeing through our witness. And finally and quickly, of the disciples who continued with the Lord. For the Lord Jesus says, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." You've been with me from the beginning. There was a day you're called. There was a day when, after the Savior preached, we read, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were no use as witnesses, because they were no longer with him. But the Lord chose those who had continued with him from the beginning. Here you have the demand. This was something which the Lord demanded of his witnesses, that they had been with him from the beginning. After Judas and Iden committed suicide, the disciples met to choose one who would take his place. In Acts 1, verse 21, Peter speaking, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." Peter knew that if a man was to take Judas's place, he had to choose a man from that group of disciples who had been with Christ from the beginning. From the beginning. That was demanded. Those who had continued with him. There are those today of professing believers and are not continuing with Christ. They run a while with him and then they'll go back. They run a while with him and then they'll go back. The Lord's looking for those who continue with him from the beginning. That's a demand. And you'll notice also that this would speak to us of their devotion. They have continued with me from the beginning. That speaks of devotion. And dearly beloved, this morning, are we devoted to Christ? Are we a devoted people? Devoted to him. Devoted to telling others about him. Devoted to witnessing. Devoted to living the life that others might see Jesus Christ in us. May the Lord help us. May the Lord make us a devoted people, that we might be effective witnesses for the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our eternal God and gracious Father, thy Lord has taught us many things from thy word. We ask thee, O God, that thou will give us the grace to accept what thou hast taught us. And help us, O Lord, to magnify Christ in our bodies. May Christ be the focus of our lives, and of our love, and of all that we do. May we indeed be able to say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ." Because we know to die is gain. So Lord, bless and use the word to glorify thyself in us. Glorify thyself in us. We ask thee, Lord, that thou will be with us now as we leave this place of worship. May thy hand be upon us as we make our way home, and may thy hand be upon us, Lord, as we return to this meeting house tonight, again to meet with thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.